a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters here in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Michelle Vandenberg. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Strong recovery. China's goods trade experienced a remarkable 5% jump in the first quarter of the year, marking the highest growth rate witnessed in six quarters and signaling a robust economic recovery. Hainan Expo, the fourth China International Consumer Products Expo, the largest of its kind in Asia Pacific, is set to kick off tomorrow on China's southern island province of Hainan. Annual meetings. Policymakers set to gather in Washington next week for the annual IMF World Bank spring meetings at a time seemed sensitive for the world economy. Let's start our program with news on China's foreign trade. During the first 3 months, China's foreign trade in the first quarter reached a record high, surpassing 10 trillion yuan, or about 1.4 trillion U.S. dollars, marking a 5% increase compared to the same period last year. Exports grew by 4.9% to 5.7 trillion yuan, while imports rose by 5% to 4.4 trillion yuan. Trade with Belt and Road participating countries and the BRICS nations grew at a faster pace than the overall figure, with trade with Belt and Road countries reaching 4.8 trillion yuan, accounting for almost half of China's total foreign trade. Private firms also experienced double-digit growth in foreign trade in the first quarter, accounting for over 50% of the total. Notably, China's exports in electromechanicals such as computers, automobiles, and ships saw robust growth, while labor-intensive industries achieved nearly 10% growth. The General Administration of Customs predicts continued growth in China's foreign trade in the first half of this year, but also highlights challenges related to geopolitical tensions and trade protectionism. Stay tuned for more in-depth analysis on these trade figures later in the program. The fourth China International Consumer Products Expo will commence tomorrow in Hainan, the island province in South China. The expo is the only national-level exhibition dedicated to consumer goods and holds the distinction of being the largest in Asia Pacific region. Our reporter Zhu Zhu has more from Haikou.
I'm now right here in Haikou, a very beautiful tropical island. So the fourth China International Consumer Products Expo will be held here from tomorrow until the 18th. And the expo will have three major exhibition areas, including the China Duty-Free New Consumption Scene Exhibition Area, the Haikou International Sailboat Exhibition, and also the Hainan Lecheng International Health Consumption Exhibition. There will also be eight themed events, including the Global Consumer Innovation Tax-Free and Tourism Conference, the China Ireland and the Life Sciences Conference, and also activities related to international education and cross-border finance in the Hainan Free Trade Port. And in addition, there will also be some very special activities such as entertainment, tourism activities, the Consumer Expo Night Carnival, and also the UK Brand Day. And the expo this year will highlight its international China chic and also island-themed features, leading some new trends of digital, green, and healthy consumption. And also this year, Ireland will serve as the guest country for this expo. So it will set up an Irish National Pavilion area to showcase its products and hold many activities in various sectors, such as agriculture, shopping, tourism, and healthcare. We will bring you more updates in the coming days. Stay tuned.
Now let's show you what's so special about the annual event.
China International Consumer Products Expo, alongside Canton Fair, China International Import Expo, China International Fair for Trade and Services, and China International Supply Chain Expo, is one of the five major international exhibitions in China. The expo, serving as a platform for China to open up to the world, showcases the latest consumer goods from home and abroad. It is the only national-level exhibition in China with a focus on consumer products and is the largest in the Asia-Pacific region, featuring over 3,000 brands from 59 countries and regions. This year's event will see the participation of the United Kingdom, Mongolia, Malaysia, and Russia for the first time. More than 55,000 buyers and professional visitors are expected to attend. This year's expo will introduce an island-wide exhibition model, with the main venue at the Hainan International Convention and Exhibition Center and three new sub-venues for sailing and yachting, duty-free shopping, and international health in Haikou and Bo'o. the Expo not only serves as a window for high-quality consumer goods from around the world to enter the Chinese market, but also help Chinese products tap into the international markets.
Now, for more discussions on China's consumer market, let's bring in Liu Zhiqin, Senior Fellow of the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies at Renmin University of China. Liu Zhiqin, good to see you. How crucial is China's consumer market to the global scene, and in what ways does it really make a difference?
I think you have a very professional question, because many people are willing to know also the same answer. In what way that make a difference? I think this consumption market in China can make a greater role in China's economic recovery, especially when we in the other sections, for instance, the investment and the export business, the three major factors to affect our economic momentum. So consumption market is becoming more important than ever, because the consumption trend can restructure our industrial and the supply chain in order to meet the demands of the society and also the consumers. So in this way, that the restructuring and the readjustment of this the supply chain and the industrial chain will play another major step to forward our economic development, especially for the consumer goods. For instance, before years or before time, we are concentrated to have some more tourist goods, for instance, the catering, accommodations, traffic, and the transportation. Nowadays, I think that we are more or less in the direction that to have more industrial goods consumption, because the industrial consumption is more important, more value added. That is very important to stimulate and promote the fundamental economic development. This is the upgrade of our economy in the future.
Yeah. And what's the significance of the consumer expo in the government's plan to ramp up domestic demand and put consumption at the forefront?
According to our experience for the expo in the consumption product, we see from last year or the year before, we see a lot of positive results. At least the 2 points. One is that we have the more opportunities to get to more involvement with other partners in global community. Many foreign visitors and investors have their great interest in China's market, how to explore to benefit the potential of China's consumer market. The second is a good chance that for all Chinese partner, Chinese manufacturer or supply chain or industrial chain to learn a lot of what kind of products that globally supply can provide to Chinese market. From both sides, we can learn from each other and also to get something that new idea for further development. So this is Expo is a good platform to learn from each other, to support to each other, and to develop with each other.
Yeah, thank you so much for your insights, Professor Liu Zhiqin. Please stay with us for more discussions later in the program. Luxury travel retailer DFS Group has started construction on a massive 7-star retail and entertainment complex in Sanya. The project, which is expected to attract 16 to 18 million visitors every year by 2030, shows the group's confidence in the development of the Hainan Free Trade Port and China's tourism industry and luxury retail market. Our reporter Wang Tianyu spoke to DFS China President Nancy Liu to get more insights.
Firstly, I think that the fact that the Chinese government have had this vision and the process to gradually in stages open up Hainan to the world is a tremendous opportunity for DFS as a luxury travel retailer. So from our perspective, the imminent end of 2025 island seal off is a very exciting prospect for us. Our Yalong Bay project is the single largest investment within DFS's 60-year history. So our ambition and our commercial plans for this project is incredibly important. I would say within the group is probably the most important project in the foreseeable future.
How confident are you with the return on investment of your project in Sanya?
We can already see that in back in 2019, already the Chinese consumption of worldwide global luxury already exceeded 30%. We can already see today in Hainan that Sanya in particular is already ranked number 3 after Shanghai. Beijing is now the number 3 luxury market in China. We also have seen the consumer trends have changed after COVID. They are not as keen to travel overseas. They want to travel closer to home. We can see that in terms of Asia Pacific and Hainan in particular, the growth of the inbound coming in has really, really, really taken off. So our confidence in Hainan and the Chinese consumer wanting to stay closer to home in buying and shopping and retailing and entertainment will be very, very high.
Have you noticed any shift in spending patterns of Chinese consumers in the past few years, especially after the pandemic?
I think that, you know, we've got the what we call the icon brands. They continue to perform very, very strong. So in the likes of Vuitton and Dior and Tiffany, these icon brands continue to perform very, very strong. The other trend that we see is that the younger consumers are looking for new brands, right? They're looking for what we call indie or independent brands. Independent brands are becoming much more favorable by the Gen Zs, right? So these are all the consumer trends that we have in mind for Yalongbei Project. We've got the icons, of course, that are coming, but we're also looking at the indie brands to attract the Gen Zs that are also coming. Then, of course, you have the whole live streaming piece, which has gone a bit crazy, but also live streaming. How do we incorporate that so that we can speak to the younger consumer that may not have landed in Sanya yet, but are planning their next trip coming into Sanya? Mm-hmm. So how do we reach that potential young consumer that wants to plan their Hainan trip and in particular come to Yalongbei? So I'd say the key trends, icon continues to perform very, very well. The indie brands, also, there's a huge trend, uptrend for them. Third is, how do we speak to our consumers online in advance of their trip? So these, I would say, are the key trends that we're seeing right now.
Still to come. Financial institutions are bullish on China's economic recovery for the first quarter and throughout the year on the back of new, stronger than expected economic data.
The Asia Pacific's largest consumer products exhibition is back. Join CGTN at the China International Consumer Products Expo in Haikou. Over 3,000 global consumer brands converge to showcase their latest and most unique products. We're at the forefront of China's evolving consumer trends to show you how businesses are leveraging China's rapidly expanding consumer market for growth.
China will soon release policy documents related to delisting supervision, according to Wu Qing, chairman of the China Securities Regulatory Commission. The documents, which are expected to be made public on Friday, will undergo a process of seeking public opinions on 6 specific institutional rules. Last month, China had already introduced 4 documents and aimed at tightening control over the process of listing and issuing securities, as well as enhancing the ongoing supervision of publicly listed companies. Going forward, the financial watchdog plans to strengthen the accountability of key stakeholders, known as the gatekeepers, to mitigate risks and promote the high-quality development of the capital market. Financial institutions are bullish on China's economic recovery for the first quarter and throughout the year on the back of new, stronger-than-expected economic data. Goldman Sachs raised China's GDP outlook for 2024 by 0.2 percentage points, landing at 5% overall. Citigroup also raised its number, which previously estimated China's GDP outlook at 4.6%. According to UBS, China's GDP growth for the first quarter may improve to an annualized 6%. China's economy is projected to experience a growth rate of 4.8% this year, according to the Asian Development Outlook 2024 report released by the Asian Development Bank on Thursday. Chief representatives from the Multilateral Lending Agency's office in China have noted that the improvements in the labor market and household income are anticipated to increase household consumption, contributing to China's economic growth in 2024.
So this year, we expect the PRC, China, to grow at 4.8%, and then down to 4.5% next year. We highlight that there is an improved labor market and household income to support the consumption. On the investment side, we expect the support from fiscal policy will drive the growth of investment. On the inflation forecast, we expect the CPI inflation to rebound from 0.2% last year to 1.1% this year, and then 1.5% next year.
We also expect fiscal expansion to further drive investment in manufacturing and infrastructure this year and next year, offsetting the moderation in the real estate investment. And this year, we still expect headwinds from the external factors to continue weighing on the net export demands.
China's large consumer market has always been a source of confidence for investors. To understand why this market continues to attract foreign investment and how to make the most of opportunities, we interviewed a group of analysts. They provided insights on the reasons behind the market's appeal and discussed potential strategies for maximizing returns in this profitable market.
I would really want to highlight, I think one of the most critical trends for the consumption market in China is consumer become more mature. And so value for high quality product become very important. With this, right, you see, for example, among returners, the really winner as for now are the two type of returners that really meet that trend. For example, the membership store who really offer very high a value for high quality product. And also, like all of a sudden, right, over the last 1 to 2 years, you see a large number of discount store format emerged, typically in lower tier cities. And those trends are typically driven by younger consumer, either younger consumer, especially for discount format, or for middle-aged consumer.
You know, I spend a lot of time just 2 weeks ago in South Africa and then in London last week talking to investors. And we're all obsessing around China's changing patterns, changing tastes and preferences, attitude towards brand, because the reality is, you know, China's consumer market is becoming more and more important every year that passes. I just before this sort of had a look at, in absolute terms, if China's consumption grows by just 5% this year, it's adding almost two of South Africa's GDP. What seems to have become quite clear to me over the past 6 months and why in the first comments I said I'm relatively optimistic for the Chinese economy this year is because they've been pretty clear that it's not necessarily about, you know, consumption growing as a share of GDP and investment basically flatlining. Really, they see this as a complex issue around domestic demand. And boosting domestic demand does mean to some extent that it's, you know, shifting resources towards consumption. So that sort of fits the bill of like supporting social spending, education, supporting rental, hukou reform, which Premier Li spoken about in the last couple of weeks, which is apparently on the table for some time later this year.
Rising middle class, e-commerce boom, automotive industry, because China is, you know, one of the largest now in automotive industry. And then it comes to tourism and travel as well. We have seen, you know, on the Chinese New Year, how much tourism and travel was there. And especially now in the service industry, where China is working on health sector, education, entertainment. And when we see the younger population growing in China, this is one of the main factors as well. We have seen a lot of urbanization when it comes to young population as well. All the young folks are traveling to big cities to find jobs. And and the main and foremost is infrastructure development that I like to focus on as well. That without roads, trains, without the people traveling from the rural areas to the urban areas have a severe impact on the China's economy. And, you know, without that, it wasn't possible. That's how the consumption industry of China is on a boom right now.
Now, for more discussions on China's latest trade data and its implications, let's bring back Liu Zhiqin, senior fellow of the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies at Renmin University of China. So, Mr. Liu, let's discuss the latest trade data and analyze its implications. Could you provide your outlook for this sector going forward?
I should say that this latest data on the trade business in the first quarter is very positive. I think many people say that this data are much better than expected. This is the truth because this is the reality. At the very beginning of this year, many people are very skeptical whether China has still enough efforts or still enough momentum to make continued growth. Now, I think the trade data made this good answer. The first point, I think this in the first quarter, I think the general economic growth in China is already 5% year-on-year, the yearly basis. This is a very positive because our yearly target is 5% GDP. The first quarter, we have already arrived at such a target, very important. But the contribution of this target is that the trade and business in the first quarter, we see that the import and export have been already growing up at least 6 to 8% from import and export. So totally the trade business, especially the good transportation and the trading are very attractive to the global market, especially for those who are still in difficulty of the supply chain, in difficulty of the industrial chain. In these countries, these partners are very keen that to have close cooperation with China's trading partners. Now China is already trying to improve this good atmosphere and conditions for doing business. So this is really a very good aspect for China's future.
Now, what are some of the notable highlights in the current trade data? Are there any specific factors or trends that are working in our favor or against us?
I think the main thing that in favor of this China's future is that China insisted to continue to open up widely to the global community, even when the Western countries are still trying that to restrain that China from its own development. Of course, in the trading business also, some Western major countries that try to cut the import from China, for instance, the new energy, EV, and also other products related with the batteries and also. So in this way, that many products that are exported to these countries are under pressure. So this is a challenge not only for China but also for the rest of the world. But in fact, you can see a very important tendency that China is still insisting to grow up, especially in the trading business. We have modernized our trading system, and also we have tried to adjust our organizational institutional the facilities that support our trading. Especially, for instance, now in Hainan, we have the export in order to attract more investors and have more cooperation. So in this way, I should say that China is now becoming a charging pile of energy bar that to provide the new energy, new booming the momentum to the rest of the world.
All right. Thank you so much for your insights. Really appreciate your time. Liu Zhiqin, senior fellow of the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies at Renmin University of China. Policymakers will gather in Washington next week for the annual IMF World Bank Spring Meetings. IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva says the meetings come at a sensitive time for the world economy. CGTN's Jim Spellman reports.
In a preview speech, the IMF Managing Director says next week's spring meetings come at a crucial time for the global economy, that policy decisions made now will determine how history judges this decade.
Will it go down in history as the turbulent 20s, a time of disruptance and divergence in economic fortunes, or the tepid 20s, a time of slow growth and popular discontent, or the transformational 20s, a time of rapid technological advancements for the good of humanity?
The release of the World Economic Outlook is a key part of each year's spring meetings. The managing director said this year's outlook will show marginally stronger global growth. That's mostly credited to an increase in consumption and business investments, plus the easing of supply chain disruptions. And strong labor markets, driven in part by immigration, have helped maintain economic resilience. She anticipates cooling inflation will likely set the stage for central bank rate cuts in the second half of the year, but warns against cutting rates too fast. She notes that global economic activity is low compared to other eras and warns that many challenges remain.
Prospects for growth have been slowing since the global financial crisis. Just look at this graph. And inflation is not fully defeated. Fiscal buffers, on the other hand, have been depleted, and debt is up, posing a major challenge to public finances in many countries.
The managing director also warned of the hazards of protectionism, warning that geopolitical tensions risk the fragmentation of important economies. And that fragmentation could create a drag on the entire global economy. Jim Spellman, CGTN, Washington.
Moving on to some other business headlines we're tracking at this hour. Market research firm Real Motion said in a recent report that global sales of electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles rose 12% on a yearly basis, with growth in China and the U.S. partially offset by a 9% dip in Europe. Apple shares surged 4.3% in their biggest single-day gain in 11 months on Thursday after Bloomberg reported that the company is nearing production of the next-gen processors with a focus on AI capabilities for all Mac models. Morgan Stanley's wealth management arm is under investigation by multiple regulators for potential shortcomings in client due to diligence and financial activity monitoring. And that will do it for this edition of Global Business. I'm Javon Burke in Beijing. Stay with us.